This classic text of Matthew 16:18, by which is established the precedent of the Sea of Peter, the Rock of Peter, as being the focal point of unity and of human authority within the church, is very familiar to us. We are well aware that in this church of ours, there is a structure of authority, and that we know that Jesus, although we sometimes wonder why, invested his authority in human persons. And what happens then is kind of interesting because of this. We can go back through the history of the papacy and turn away embarrassed by some of the characters that have paraded through St. Peter's. We can be in many ways disedified by some of the stories that history brings to the fore. And we find that on reflecting upon this, what we find is not so much a divine drama, but what we find is a human drama. And Jesus invests within this human drama the source of his truth, his salvation, his glory, and his cross. And the other side of that is why would he do something like this? It seems like, as a business plan, it would be a pretty bad plan, actually. If he could make it all work exactly right, what did he give it to us for? And I think that we get a key to that. We look at a glimpse of that. He says to his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" He did this, he did not say, "Who is the Messiah?" He said, "The Son of Man," because the Messiah was so loaded with human expectations that it ceased to be really an effective word for them. So he went around them a little bit. And who did they pick? They didn't pick a single living person. They picked John the Baptist. They picked Elijah. They picked Jeremiah. They picked one of the other prophets, none of whom were alive. And Jesus says, "All right, who do you say that he is?" And God inspires Peter to say, "You are the Christ. You are the Savior, the Messiah." And so Jesus then says, "It is upon you that this institution," and he uses the word kahal for the church, a word which indicates a community and not simply, in some way, shape, or form, a preconceived notion of an institution. But he says, "You will have the authority to construct and to create this community of believers which will have form and shape in the world." What do we find from the very beginning of the story of humanity? What about Eve in the tree in the garden? The story is a fascinating psychological look at human nature. Being where you shouldn't be, conversing with whom you shouldn't converse, being outwitted by evil, and succumbing. Kind of a classic story. Start the conversation with the devil, and the end of the story is pretty much written in most lives. So what happens? She had the authority of God above her. But what happened was her pride, her desire, and Adam's desire to be gods themselves ruined their whole possibility of a paradise for life. You and I think, are probably the same way. if we do not have to bow before another human person, we have grandiose ideas of ourselves. Take the Christian who does not believe in the incarnation and the presence of Christ embedded in human institution and human world and human persons. We can make the spirit of Christ be whatever we want, say whatever we want, and with great assurance proclaim that we know his mind completely. But what if we have to be humble? What if we have to bow before the authority of someone who we don't think knows as much as we do, who we don't think understands our personal situation, who we don't think maybe has the great insights into the nature of our world and our environment? Somehow or other, then, we struggle with who the Christ is. We struggle with what it means to believe with the content of our faith. And we don't just presume all the answers. And the key to the whole thing of authority in the church becomes this. Without the humility that forces upon us, we cannot believe in the revelation of Jesus Christ. For we ourselves would become the judge, and we ourselves would become the source of truth, and we ourselves would be quite sure that we knew it all about what was going on. And we ourselves could stand in quite elegant judgment against those who disobeyed or disagreed with our vision of the living God. Without the humility that human authority brings into the church, the context and the structures of our faith color outside the lines of truth, reality, goodness, eternity. The Lord has given us the instruments of humility that we might approach him in truth, realistically. Listen to him, hear him, and not demand that he be the one to listen to us. He affirms this over and over again in the scriptures. In every gospel, there is an affirmation of the primacy of Peter. And the apostolic college emerges in the Acts of the Apostles, and so forth. The hierarchical structure is not there for the edification of those who enter into it. It is there to make you and I humble in order that we might come before the Lord, before the cross of Christ, and honestly grapple and struggle with the truth of our faith. This afternoon, as we listen to this, as we delve deeper into this mystery of what Jesus has done, and into the mystery of our own lives, of how we receive it, let us say a prayer of thanksgiving that he has saved us from the worst dimensions of ourselves by giving us the opportunity to know him and ourselves even better.